It's good to be with you again, and just thought there about kind of the collection you're having for, I presume it's for the roof here. Very often you hear a statement, you know, let our worship raise the roof. And perhaps our prayer should be let our worship pay for the roof. Because worship isn't just singing our songs and a Sunday morning together. That's part of it. That's an expression of our worship. You know, as Romans says, our worship is giving ourselves to God. And that's our spiritual worship. Present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And that includes our finances. That includes our giving. It's all part of our worship, or should be. And so I encourage you to let your worship overflow in those ways. So indeed, the worship will raise the roof and replace it with a better roof. Amen? So continue to worship in every way possible. I'd like to carry on this morning. Last couple of times I've been down, I've been talking about growing as Christians. And I honestly believe that whoever we are and whatever age we are, I was talking to Gordon this morning discussing our ages, and obviously he's a lot older than I am, you can see that. But whoever we are and whatever age we are and whatever stage we are in our Christian lives, I believe the Word of God encourages us and exhorts us to continue to grow in God. You know, we never arrive. 3 or 4 years ago, when Joe and I stepped down from local church leadership and, in theory, kind of retired, you still continue to grow. It's a matter of retiring, right? You put a new tyre on a car, you retire it. And we just found that since we stepped down from local leadership and, in theory, retired, that God had other plans for us. And he had other avenues for us to work and other avenues for us to go. And I found myself having to almost grow into those situations. You know, things come up and you think, you know, I didn't expect that. But if it's what you want, Lord, you've got to grow into that situation. And sometimes a little bit daunting, but, you know, God wants us to grow continually in whatever walk of life we are. And we've just relocated churches, and for various reasons. I mean, good reasons. And we've just relocated to a church that we were planted out from 25, 30 years ago. And going back into the church, and probably half the church is people that I grew up with. People were around and really discipled me when I was a young Christian. They're of similar ages to me, just perhaps a few years older in most cases. And kind of going back into the church and going back seeing them I've seen them over the years. The question I had, you know, have they grown? Have they grown in those 25, 30 years I've been away? I'll keep those views to myself. But God wants us to continually grow. As I look through Scripture, I see it time and time again. And I was speaking a week or two ago about this whole subject again, and because it's in my heart. You know, the more I kind of start preaching it and start teaching it, it still continues to grab me, because I want people to experience growth in their lives and experience, you know, that the Justin Welby thing, your kingdom come. And it's allowing God's kingdom into our lives more and more so that we grow. You know, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You know, it says in Isaiah, you know, that his kingdom will continue to grow. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And that is kind of globally, if you like, and spiritually, but also in our own lives. That, you know, the kingdom life in our life, our kingdom life will continue to grow. And I use the expression I heard years ago, and it's just stuck with me, that God will not be our tailor. You're looking at me a bit confused now. Let me explain. We read in Psalm 139, I quoted this morning, I prayed that, God has knit us together in our mother's womb. All the days for us were ordained before one of them came to pass. And God, I think God sees in us, he talks about us being wonderfully made. And God, I think, sees us, and he's looked in the future and said, that's what I have in mind for you, for your life. That's what I want you to grow into. And we sometimes say, oh, I can't go there, Lord, I can't do that, Lord. And we want God to be our tailor, to cut that thing down to our size. But God wants us to grow into what he wants us to be. Can you see? And God doesn't want to be our tailor. He doesn't want to cut us back to something smaller, something less effective. The life that he wants to us to lead. He doesn't want to cut the cloth to fit us. He wants us to grow into what he sees is possible for us. So he, it's a phrase that's been on my mind the last couple of years. He's not going to be our tailor. He doesn't want to be our tailor. But he wants us to grow into the person that he wants us to be. I often think about, I forget the name of the television program, and at the end it was like a prize thing, and the guy at the end, the people on this kind of quiz thing, and they didn't get all the prizes, and the quiz master, you say, here's what you could have won. You didn't, and I have my own heart, and I'm kind of bringing messages such as this in and out of the church that I go to. I have my own heart. I don't want any of us. I don't want to get to heaven. And God say to me, here's what you could have been. Here's what you could have been. And here's what you could have won. My desire is that I walk in the presence of God, well done. Good and faithful servant. And as I go around, I guess my heart is to say, I want that for everybody I come across. I don't want any of you to go in, when you pass into heaven, to say, God's here is what you could have been. Sobering thought, isn't it? So growth means change. Growth means change, and I spoke about that over the last few weeks. Goodness me, time's going already. I haven't got anywhere. But I see it time and time again in the New Testament about growth. Paul says to the church in Corinth, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you greatly expands. Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to grow as a person. To the church in Ephesus, he says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Our hope is that you will grow to become mature. Ephesians, again, it says, from him the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up. Colossians, to the church in Colossae, he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. In Peter's letter, he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So throughout the New Testament and other writers, there's that theme that keeps on coming, let's only a few examples. It's there, then the letters to the churches and the other letters are there for us to enable us, to help us to grow. And I want to encourage you this morning to grow in God. To grow in God. You know, growth as a Christian is not about how many, it's about how much. And let me explain that to you, because again, you're looking a little bit confused. You know, growth isn't how many meetings you attend. It's not how many verses of the Bible or how well you know the Bible. It's not how many minutes you spend in devotion or prayer. It's not how many books you read. And all of that is good. And I encourage you to get along to as many meetings as you can. I encourage you to read God's word. I encourage you to pray more than you perhaps do at the moment. But it's how we apply that to our lives. How much do we take on board? Week by week, many of you come here and you hear the word of God preached. You're involved with the worship. I know by talking to you, many of you, you know, read the word of God and seek God on a regular basis. And that is good. But some of these things, in a sense, when God speaks, we have to put it into practice, and that will enable us to grow. Amen. So it's not how many meetings you come to, not how many sermons you listen to. It's what you do with it is important. And how you apply it to your lives is important. You know, if I want to get physically healthy, I could join a gym. I could go there every day of the week. But if I just sit there and watch everybody else doing it, I'm not going to get physically fit. And we realise that. You know, some people probably in their homes have a whole raft of DVDs that they can sit in their armchair eating their donuts and watching. But it's not going to get them physically fit. I have to say, we've got at home probably a shelf full of diet books. But if we don't do anything about it, we just say, well, that recipe looks nice, and then kind of go out and buy fish and chips. We're not going to do much about it. But we need to implement it. And I think that's what Paul is talking about with growth. It's a quality of life that we need to achieve, and we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to implement our lives. You see, our growth has got to be in the quality of the life that we lead. So it's about how much, not about how many. It's about how much. And Jesus spoke about his kingdom more than anything else when he walked the earth. We know that he spoke about his kingdom, about his rule and reign, how our lives reflect his kingdom. And God wants to pour his grace. That's why he talked about growing grace. God wants to pour his grace into our lives day by day. But it's how much that grace affects our lives. And I ask myself the question, how much closer am I to God this year than I was last year? Because if I'm no closer to God, I haven't grown. And I've received his grace in vain. Yeah, how much more do I love my wife this year than I did do last year? She would probably say, well, you don't show it. But it's a question, because that's life. How much more do I love my kids this year than last year? How much more is what God has put within me overflowing to others? Am I a better evangelist this year than I was last year? To me, that's how I grow. not just having head knowledge, that I know more about God. It's what I'm doing with it that's important. Is my character changing? Am I more like Christ this year than I was last year? Is the rule and reign of God in my life more this year than it was last year? You see, that's where I see growth. You know, we can see physical growth quite easily. You know, our waistlines get a bit bigger, or you know, we change, get more wrinkles, or our hair gets a bit greyer. But what about our spiritual lives? Because that's what it comes down to, our kingdom life. And so I want, you know, Corinthians says this, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And if we, you know, the song says, you know, he pours his grace into our lives day by day. How much is that changing us? How much is that changing us? You see, just being a Christian doesn't guarantee change. But Peter in his letters says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the grace, can I just say, grace isn't about trying harder. It's allowing God to move. Yeah, we might have to try that bit, but it's not just about trying harder. It's allowing God to move. Allowing the grace of God that he pours into our lives day by day, it's allowing it. You see, growth isn't, and change isn't automatic. There isn't a strict correlation between the length of time that we are Christians and how much we've grown. I've seen, you know, some Christians that, as I refer back to going back to the church we were there 25, 30 years ago, and I look at some Christians and I have to say, sadly, I look at them, I think, actually, you haven't grown much. That might seem very critical, but I think over 30 years, you haven't grown much. Some of the attitudes are not what they should be. Some of your actions are not what they should be. And so how do we change? How do we allow God to change? What does the Bible, how does the Bible encourage us to change, to grow? Well, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul's letter helps us here, I think. Ephesians 4, verse 22, he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul there says, if we want to change, if we want to grow, we've got to put off our old self. The Amplified Version says, strip off. We're told to strip off our clothes, our old clothes. Take them off. The Message says, get rid of everything connected with or anything that would drag you into your old way of life. And so the Word of God said, if we want to grow, those things that are in our old life before Christ, we've got to strip them off. Not put up with them, but strip them off. Put them off. Put off your old self. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, let us throw off, Another expression there. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Notice Paul says there, you do it. Very often it's the choices we have to make. We have to decide to strip, to throw, to put everything off. You know, I find it very sad when I see the things of the world infiltrating the things of God, the church of God. You know, I read in my Bible in Ephesians chapter 5 that God is returning for a glorious church without stain, wrinkle or blemish. I think it's Nicky Gumbel says he's not coming back for a nag, a hag and a bag. He's coming back for a glorious church. And we'll only be that as individuals and as a church if we are prepared to sometimes put off, throw off those things that would hinder us. Put off our old self. If we don't, I can honestly say this morning, if we're not prepared to do that, then it will stunt our growth. We can play fast and loose with God. We can dip back into our old ways and our own thinking, our old attitudes. But it will stunt our growth and it will not enable us to grow. Paul says these, if we carry on in Ephesians 4, verse 25, it says he identifies some of the things that would stop or stunt our growth. He says, therefore, each of you must put off, get rid of, throw off, whatever you need to do, strip yourself of falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour. He says, in anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, I know and I've seen in life that as soon as you give the devil a foothold, it can become a stronghold. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Or we're in metric now, aren't we? If you give him a centimetre, he'll take a kilometre. I've seen it in people's lives. He who has been stealing, steal no longer. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. There are some things that Paul identifies. If you read on to chapter 5, it talks about sexual immorality, greed, foolish talk, obscenity. And I'm not trying to get at anybody here this morning. Please, please, please understand that. It's out of a heart that wants to see people grow. And Paul encourages, just with some things, and it's like it's not exhaustive, but perhaps it's even the start for some of us. And if we want to grow, there's some of the things we need to do. We need to get rid of them, throw them off. You know, we need, and I, as being a pastor for 25 years plus, and talking to people over the years, you know, we need to take heed of what we watch, what we read, what we gain involvement with. We need to take heed of our desires, our thoughts. Very often I hear Christians say, you know, I watched that program the other night, I shouldn't really have watched it. Well, don't watch it if we want to grow. I shouldn't have listened to that. Well, don't. All these things, Paul says, strip off, throw off. But how do we do it? How do we do it? Time is going. How much longer have we got, David? Eh? He says all right. But I don't want to overstay my welcome. Another 10 minutes. Is that okay? Another 10 minutes? Yeah. Practical help. Because that's all in theory, and we know, I guess most of us know what I'm saying, and we'd say amen to it all. But some practical help. Can I just say, firstly, be aware. Be honest with yourself. Some things are clear and some things aren't. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's going back to what I'm saying. God has, part of our race is God has got seeds in his own mind, I believe, for each one of us, what he wants us to grow into. That's part, it's kind of part of our race. It's another analogy. And he says, let's run with perseverance. Let's persevere in this whole race, this whole growth area in our own lives. But you see, the Bible, the writer of the Hebrews is, I think, is sensible, and he can see things. He says, it says about sin that so easily entangles us. And we know that sometimes the things that aren't of God easily entangle us. We're human. And it doesn't pull any punches. It says those things easily entangle us. And that's why I say, let's be aware. Let's be sensible. It doesn't say it's easy to put off and put on. Put off the old life and put on the new life. It doesn't say that. He says the sins that so easily entangle us. So the Bible's quite clear, quite sensible. Because the writer of Hebrews knows that these things are easy to get involved with. We're easily tempted. David said in Psalm 139, he said, search me, O God, and see if there is any offensive way in me. Create in me a clean heart. And so David knew that he had to pray about these things. And he asked God to create in him a pure heart, because he knew that the other things were so easy to get involved with. And perhaps we need to pray about these things, perhaps more than we do. Sometimes God will identify things in our lives through preachers, through our reading of the word, through prayer, through prophecy, whatever it may be. Can I encourage you to pray about it as well? Jesus told us to pray that we would not be led into temptation. He told us to pray that we should be delivered from evil. Because temptation and sins and the things that aren't of God will stop our growth. It will hinder our growth. It will stunt our growth. And I guess all those 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew those things. Well, obviously he knew them. And that's why he said in the prayer that we should pray, God, keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And that's why I guess he prayed. Or asked us to pray, told us to pray, encouraged us to pray those kinds of prayers. David in Psalm 139, he prays, lead me in the way everlasting. That's the kind of prayer we should pray. Lead me in God's way. And that will help our growth. And thirdly, if we got this far, just practically, as I said right at the beginning, we need to take action. If we want to grow in grace, if we want to grow in God, if we want our spiritual life and kingdom life to to expand and to grow into the person that God wants us to be. Sometimes we just have to make hard choices, and that can be the hardest part. I've seen many people perhaps fall away from God or fall into sin because of the choices that they've made. And sometimes I want to encourage you to make the right choices. You know, someday I knew a close friend of mine, and he still kind of struggles with it, but he had a problem with watching late night TV, satellite TV, where you get some of the adult channels come on. And his wife would go to bed and he'd sit downstairs and he'd flick it on and sit there watching stuff that he shouldn't be watching, basically. And I said to him, you know, there's an off button on the television and on the remote control. There's an off button. But his choice was to leave it on. I said, it's your choice. He said, but I find it difficult. I find it difficult. I'm being seduced by it. And I said, okay, then, if you're finding it difficult, if your choice, you can't turn it off, I said, get rid of the TV. Can't do that. I said, how serious are you then? How serious are you wanting to grow in God? Sometimes it's those kind of choices that we have to make. How serious are you? You know, things like adultery don't start in bed. They start with some simple choices. A chat, a flirt. You know, a cup of coffee, a meal. And you're making those choices because we can get so easily entangled. And that will stop your growth. It will stunt your growth. I always admired Billy Graham. And I remember hearing a story that in his offices, if he was ever talking, he would never ride in a car with another woman on his own who wasn't his wife. He would never do it. And in his office, I heard the story in the office, if he was ever talking to another woman who wasn't his wife, the office door would always be open. Because he didn't want to get into that situation where he could be tempted, where he made those choices. And, you know, I admire him for it. A few years ago in our church, we had a married man who was attracted to a female colleague at work. And we counseled him, we prayed with him. And I can remember saying to him, yeah, if you can't make those choices, if you can't be disciplined like that, then move your jobs. Move your job. Change your job. He looked surprised. I said, how serious are you at getting through this? Sadly to say, eventually the marriage split up. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5 says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, I know that happens probably in some Middle Eastern countries even today. But what I think what Matthew is getting there is you have a choice. You can stop. You know, we have the Holy Spirit within us. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is active within us. Scripture says, I've given you everything you need for life and for godliness. For life. And to do God things, godliness, to have God in our lives, to live a godly life. My Bible says he's given us everything that we need. And I'm not criticising anybody because we can always fall into sin because it so easily entangles us. But there is another way for us to grow. You know, that time is gone. I will stop there. You know, God wants us to grow. I believe that, and it grips my heart. And in my new role, in a sense, with the Assemblies of God meeting other ministers and churches. You know, I said to God, you know, give me something to bring. And it's that, this whole thing of growing. And I've seen it in so many churches where people sadly haven't grown as much as they could have done. It saddens my heart. And that's the congregation and sometimes the leaders. And it saddens my heart. And I just sense God has put something in me to try and encourage people to grow. You know, pray for David that he will continue to grow in his role as a pastor here. None of us have arrived. Pray that he will grow and grow and grow into that role. I pray that as a congregation you will grow as individual believers. And I believe as you grow as individual believers, the church will grow.
Amen.
I believe that. Because you'll have more of the kingdom life that God wants in you. You'll have more of it. So it will become as, like in the Will of the World, something I'm going to give you will overflow. Like a fountain, overflow. And that's got to touch the world outside. If we're prepared to grow. But it's not automatic. It's not trying harder. I believe it's allowing God to work in us, perhaps more than he does at the moment. And when he does that, it can't help but overflow around us. Let's continue to pray. Perhaps even pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, that thing that so easily entangles me, that attitude, that thought, that action that so easily entangles me, Lord, help me with that. I believe they're the kind of prayers that God answers. I really do. Let's take action wherever we can. Let's put off the old self. Let's make the right choices. And when we do, I believe we will grow. You may not all be 6'7" like me, but you know, you can grow the kingdom life that God has put within us. Yet all the days are ordained for us before one of them came to pass. God, I believe, sees what we could be. What we could grow into. Whatever age we are, we don't stop growing. My encouragement to you. If I come back later in the year, we'll talk about putting on the new self. It might also help us. But in the meantime, I encourage you to grow in God. Grow in grace. Don't let the grace that God pours into our lives day by day, don't let it be in vain. Don't receive God's gift of grace in vain. But allow it to change you, to grow you, to encourage you to be the person that God wants you to be. That's my desire, that's my hope as I go around the different churches. That's the message I'm bringing. Because God wants us to grow. I want to grow. I don't want to grow any taller, but I want to grow spiritually. And my encouragement is that next time I come back, we'll see growth.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall I pray? Father, we thank you because you do indeed pour your grace into our lives day by day. Lord, we thank you for that. Where would we be without it? And Lord, as we continue to walk on this pathway of life, this pathway with you, this life with you of being part of your family, Father, I just pray that we will be recipients of your grace more and more. And Lord, we won't receive it in vain. We won't put barriers up to you working in our lives. We won't put barriers up to growing closer to you and growing in you and becoming the masterpiece that you have in your mind's eye for each one of us. But Lord, I pray we will be recipients of it. Lord, we will allow it to affect our lives. Lord, it will help us to make the right choices. And Lord, when those things that come across our lives are that are not of you, Father, I pray we will make those choices to say no. Lord, that we, the prayer that we pray many times, that, you know, Lord, we pray that you will not lead us into temptation, and you, Lord, you will keep us from evil as we desire to grow in you. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon this church, blessing upon the individuals here, Lord, that we will all, whatever age we are, naturally, and whatever age we are as your children, Father, that we will, day by day, we will continue to grow in you. Lord, our growth won't be stunted, but Lord, we will flourish as your children. Amen. 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 God bless you.